The next application is 12,175 Carlos Martins seeks a variance from the front yard, corner front yard, and rear yard setback requirements for proposed structures, section 115-34 and 115-182 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the northeast corner of Todd Drive and Hazel Avenue in the Bayview Park development. The 911 address is 34956 Todd Drive, Bethany Beach. The zoning district is MR, and the tax parcel is District 134, Map 20.12, Parcel 60. Staff would note they were requesting a 0.39-foot rear yard variance for the second floor deck, a 4.51-foot corner front variance for the house, and a 12-foot variance for the front yard for the steps.
Good evening. State your name and address for the record.
Brian Elliott with Insight Homes, 14316 River Cove Road, Greenwood, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And no letters, Ms. Cornwell?
No letters in support, opposition, and no mail returns.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I am representing Carlos Martins and Michelle Downing. And I'd like to propose the variances as follow. The property is very unique. It's not only small, but it also is not square. So it backs up to a canal, but when I say it's not square, the lot lines are not perpendicular, okay, which creates additional setback issues. Due to the regular shape of the lot, the building envelope is not square, with the building restriction lines not being perpendicular, the size of the home is further reduced. It cannot otherwise be developed due to the odd shape of the lots and the building restriction lines, as I said, not being square. Variance is needed to enable a reasonable use of the property in order to best build a home resembling the neighborhood properties, the surrounding homes in the neighborhood. It's not created by the applicant. The owner has not created the practical difficulty of building on the lot, as they did not create the irregular shaped lot. Nor understand the building envelope actually not being square when they purchased the property. It will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. The variance will actually enhance the neighborhood, the minimum variance that's being requested does represent the minimum variance to afford relief due to the unique property characteristics. So what I'm mentioning as far as the lot not being square, because the lot's not square, the lot lines, the building envelope, with the lot lines not being perpendicular, actually reduces the lot size of the house, of a square house that you can actually build. So when you square the house to the road, because the lot lines are not perpendicular, it actually reduces the footprint of the allowable house that you can build there.
Has the house been built?
No, ma'am.
Yet it would appear that the proposed house is not parallel to the road.
Right. We had that turned a little sideways because when you actually, initially John Warfoy had drafted for me a little sketch showing the actual dimensions of what the perpendicular footprint would show. But when you squared it to the road, it reduces the size that you can actually fit in that lot line there. So if you square the way the lot lines are drawn right now with the building envelope, you could actually fit, let me see here, a 40 by 39 house. But because it's not square, when you try to square that into that lot line, it reduces it to a 34 by 39 box dimension. So if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way you can actually build a 39 by 39 foot 4 inch by 40 foot 5 inch house is if you build the house crooked. Because when you square it, it reduces the size. Hence, part of the reason for the application. It's a very unique lot. It's on the corner. It's on a canal. Very odd.
So the most of the variance is for, well, I shouldn't say that. A lot of variance is for the steps. How many, is this a second floor or a raised?
Yes, sir.
First floor?
It's in a flood zone.
Flood zone.
Which dictates the house be on pilings. We would enclose the ground floor simply as a workshop, an unfinished area, and a garage.
Mm-hmm.
But whether it was left open or closed or not, the steps are of course coming from about 9 foot above grade.
Okay.
Which dictates that the front step fall into that front property.
And how many square feet is the footprint?
The footprint is 34 by 39, so it's about...
less than 69.
1450, 1480 square feet for the first floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two floors?
Yes, sir.
So under 3,000.
So 1326.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
20, yeah.
So it's a two-story home on top of the garage. So it's mm-hmm. it's less than 3,000 square feet for the house.
And the fact that it's a corner lot and requiring that additional setback
yes, sir.
Also limits it.
Now, the way the survey is actually shown is incorrect because the lot is 5,000 square feet or less. So I believe a new code dictates a 5 foot side yard setback. So the side yard setback on the left hand side would actually be 5 feet, not 10 feet as it's shown.
And because it's up on a floodplain, then you need some outdoor living space, thus the deck.
Yes, sir.
And then stairs for ingress and egress.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Other members or questions from members of the board?
Not at this time.
Mr. Sharp?
HVAC at all?
Yes, sir. That'd be on the left-hand side, and I talked to my surveyor today about making sure we locate those in case I come back here, which I assume I probably will. That would fall into the left-hand side, which would fit within setbacks and not encroach.
Okay. And how far from the edge of paving of Hassel Drive? It looks from the tax map like there's a pretty lengthy gap there from that road.
There is, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a common area.
Okay. All right. I have no further questions. Thank you.
All right. No further questions. Is there anyone here in favor of the application? Don't see any. Is there anyone here in opposition to the application?
Mm-mm.
Okay. If you'd like to have a seat, there is one person in
yes,
opposition.
Sir.
I assume there was just one, right? Okay. Come in and be sworn in, please.
Excuse me. Can I ask the chairman that question real quick?
We'll swear you in and then you can have
four.
We need to know who you are by swearing you in, if you don't mind.
Well,
please. And then you can ask.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Paul Ringer, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Basically, the first question that I had was basically going through rules of procedures and different things requiring it, and basically even coming in up with, for the chairman or the board in his absence, acting chairman may administer oaths and compel attendance of witnesses. Just even finding out anywhere in the code, the county code, the state code, going through for Mr. Sharp just to do the swearing in versus it was your job. And I figure since you were the new chairman, first meeting, I'd like to see whether you're the person who would do the swearing in and the oaths before the hearing. So I couldn't find it anywhere.
Title 10 of the Delaware Code allows for notary publics to swear anyone in. I'm a notary public. As I'm an attorney at law, I have a non-expiring commission, so that's why I do the swearing in. The chairman does have the ability under our code to do that, as well as any notary public that we may have on staff. We do have some. So for purposes of ease and in the historical use of what we've done at this level, it's been the attorney who is representing the board to do the swearing in.
Right.
And we are required that testimony before the board be sworn in.
Yes. Just for rules of
procedure. And that would be my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Basically, is what I'm here questioning is, okay, is with the new codes that were put in for the undersized lots, for with the hardship and the county's proposal with doing those ordinances in March for the undersized lots concerning the setbacks with all of the different changes that were done, and what the county's intent was during those hearings to do it. So on through lots, the required front yard shall be provided on each street. There shall be a front yard of at least 15 feet on the side of a street at a corner lot in any district. On a street or road, but existing buildings have a front yard setback that is less than required in a district, any newly relocated building may have a front yard setback that is equal to the average setback of those existing buildings located on the same side of the street or road and being within 300 feet of the newer relocated building. Any vacant lot shall be calculated as having the required setback for the district. D, open and closed decks, porches, platforms, or steps not covered by a roof or canopy which do not extend above the level of the first floor of the building may extend or project into the front yard not more than 5 feet. This provision does not apply to manufactured home parks or campgrounds. Added, et cetera. That was 115-182. Now 115-183, side and rear yards. Where a building in a commercial district is subject to the height, area, and the bulk requirements applicable to residential development under 115-178, bulk requirements applicable to residential development under 115-178 of this article, the side yard requirements for residential development shall be applied only to the lowest floor and all floors above it, which contain more than 25% areas used for the dwelling. All floors should be subject to the side yard required by these regulations for commercial buildings adjacent to residential districts. For the purposes of the side yard regulation, a group of business or industrial buildings separated by common party walls should be considered as one building occupying one lot. C, open and enclosed deck, porches, platforms, or steps not covered by a roof or canopy which do not extend above the level of the first floor of the building which may extend or project into the side or rear yard not more than 5 feet. The provision does not apply to manufactured home parks or campgrounds. Now that was the old 182-183, but in March with the county passing the new ordinance going through, the intent of it, an ordinance to amend chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex by amending article.
I trust you're coming 25. To your opposition.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just reading. Whereas there are many legal non-conforming small lots that exit individually and in older developments throughout the county. And whereas the yard setback requirements as applied to these legal non-conforming lots often make the lots difficult and not impossible to reasonably improve. And whereas the Sussex County Board of Adjustment frequently considers and approves yard setbacks, variance applications for these small legal non-conforming lots. And whereas the Sussex County Council desires to create reduced setbacks for pre-existing legal non-conforming lots with less than 50 feet of frontage or that are less than 10,000 square feet in size, so they all are treated uniformly. And whereas deletions from the existing Sussex County Code are shown in brackets and the additions of the codes in county are shown in italics. Now, the change to that was for the front yards, was they deleted, can I read the?
Well, you're schooling us on the code and the ordinance, and I appreciate your desire, but the question here before the board is, does the applicant meet the standards for granting a variance? And your opposition should address those standards, okay, whether they do or do not.
That's where I was getting for the opposition. No front yard setback reduced pursuant to the subsection shall be reduced to less than 5 feet. The provisions of the subsection shall not apply to any lot in the cluster subdivision, EZR plan community.
We understand what the ordinance is. We grant exceptions to the ordinance, provided that they meet the standards. Please explain to us how you feel that he does not meet those standards.
When the ordinance had come through with the planning and zoning and then to the county council, it was asked in the 5 foot what can be allowed, what should be allowed, and done to take it from the 10, 15 feet and all the other setbacks in there. Mm-hmm. It was the county was making a lot of the undersized lots make it simple for everybody by taking it and bringing it down to the 5 feet or within the 5 feet of the setbacks and all with the front setbacks coming into the medium. You have a 60 by 80 foot lot. They're saying that because it's turned a little bit, they have to decrease the structure. Well, if a person comes in with a 40 by 100 foot lot, he has to go down to his 5 feet. He has to build a smaller house and come in. So the county is saying, I believe, in interpreting it, is you buy it, you have an undersized lot, sides 5 feet, 10, the rear, come in with the 5 to 10, or however exactly how that works, to not encroach it. The discussion was, what is a hardship? And it was very specific what questions were asked at both those hearings. And it even came down to, a person has a house, puts a AC unit in the window. Is that a violation if they're within the 5 foot? I believe that that was within the foot past the overhang, and that would be considered out of a violation. What the hardship seemed to be is, how can you have a hardship if you're building a new, if you have a new lot? And it's not a hardship to say to build a 3,000 square foot house versus a 2,500 square foot house. So my whole complaint is with all these undersized lots, because if you downsize that picture, the zoning that you have there, how many other undeveloped lots are in there that are broken out? Or everyone that now has a five, that was given the 5 foot setbacks, is everybody else coming in throughout there now hardship, or because you've given the new variance? I believe that by the county coming in and doing what they did, the county council, and doing the codes and giving from 15 to 5 on each side and saying, let's make it to 5. That's what we want. And they even, during one hearing, when I asked this question during councilman comments, there was a comment back and forth about, actually, I played the tape, it's all there. I don't know whether Mr. Sharp, or I believe Ms. Cromwell was there. It was, nothing was to go into the 5 feet, basically, unless it was a true hardship.
We understand the ordinance, okay?
Yeah.
So we're not here to debate the ordinance. We're here to determine if the applicant is convincing us that he meets the standards, which is proving uniqueness, proving it can't otherwise be developed, proving that it wasn't created by the applicant, and so forth. If you can't offer to us your opinion on those standards, we don't need to be schooled on the ordinance. We know what it says.
Is what I'm asking for at this is, in order to allow the hardship, is to explain why the hardship exists, a real reason to match what the ordinance was, in the intent of the code, how you're overriding the intent of the code.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, just to clarify a point from Mr. Rieger, and I know Mr. Rieger was active at those hearings. The code was adopted, the revisions to the code were adopted in March, and they did address the undersized lots, and there was a reduction of setbacks for those lots. As part of that, someone is not to build in those setbacks, but that does not prohibit someone from seeking a variance from those setback requirements, like the applicant is here this evening. They still have to meet those 5 standards.
Right.
And the standard is just, this is a technical one, Mr. Rieger. It's not a hardship standard, it is an exceptional practical difficulty standard. So a little terminology difference there. I suspect that, Mr. Rieger, it seems like your point is that you believe that ordinance should have provided the applicant with enough relief that they could have built a home in there. Is that what you're saying here?
Exactly.
Okay. And further, you don't believe that the applicant has met the standards for granting variance. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yep, Mr. Rieger.
Didn't you say you live in Frankfort?
No, I live in Georgetown.
You don't live in Bayview Park by this lot?
No.
Thank you.
May I answer that?
Sure.
Okay. I'm here on different code issues. I believe that every time I'm up here questioning about a code issue or something that is done, myself as a resident of Sussex County, no matter where I live, if some setbacks, I have been in predicament and questions over setbacks on multiple occasions questioning it. And what should be fair for one person in this county should run for everybody.
Yeah, and that's why
I questioned how it affect you. How it affected you. Were you a neighbor of this lot? We're discussing this one lot.
One lot here.
One lot, not throughout Sussex County or, you know, the broad code. I just was interested in knowing how close you lived to that lot and how did it affect you.
It just affects the intent of the way the code was written, and that entertains whether it's my neighbor or forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here in opposition? Okay. Is there anybody else in opposition? Because I asked originally and you didn't speak up.
Come up here, sir.
So is there anyone else?
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Sure. My name is Keith Stack, 210 Lavinia Street, Milton, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. And I don't know if you have any exhibits, but if you do, you can send them down there in Ms. Cornwell at the end.
No, I do not.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to comment. I'm going to pick up where Mr. Rieger left off.
We don't need to be schooled. I'll caution you. I'll caution you. We don't need to be schooled on the ordinance. So address the standards, please.
I am raising a question, procedural question, regarding points of clarification, first of all. Board of Adjustment, Mr. Workman's current term ends in 2018. Could
that
you
does
explain?
Not, has nothing to do with the standards.
Yes, sir.
Has nothing to do with this hearing.
Okay. Please tell me how we raise these questions.
To your councilman.
So not before this board?
No, this is not okay. The time nor the place.
Okay. Second question. The swearing in.
That's not a question for this hearing. Next.
I'm going to make a statement about this.
You're not going to make a statement. If your statements aren't directed directly to this case, okay, and it's not addressing these standards, then your testimony is finished.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Steck, you don't have any testimony as to this case?
No.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. If there's no other opposition or testimony, I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we approve case number 12,175. I feel that he had met the five standards for the granting of the variance. That applicant did not create this.
Okay. Okay. I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second by roll call vote. Mr. Workman.
Aye. The reason stated.
Ms. McGee.
Aye, for the reasons stated, and because it is a very unique lot. It has two front yards.
Thank
that
you.
Wasn't brought up during the hearing.
Okay. Mr. Calloway.
And aye, for my previous reasons that have been stated. Position Mrs.
McGee. Aye, for the reasons stated.
And aye, too, for the reasons stated. So by motion or by vote of 5-0, the request or case is approved.
I respectfully thank you for approving the variance for the reasons stated. Thank you.
Yes, sir.